Pardon? Oh, no, estoy en el video. Pueden amarrar el recorrido. Man will be put in the Garden of Eden to function as God's priest. He uses the word abad, to function as God's priest. God's priest and God's prophet. Amen. God's priest and God's prophet. In God's supernatural assembly. Hallelujah. In God's supernatural assembly. Hallelujah. So something very vital. That is that we said the natural and the supernatural coexist. Never forget that. We said they coexist. Natural and the supernatural, they coexist. So therefore we said, Adam, which is man, was created to function, to hear and see in the company of supernatural beings as God's prophet. So Adam is to function as God's prophet in the earth. Amen. Adam is to function as God's prophet in the earth. So, how would Moses then describe supernatural beings? John, this was where we stopped yesterday. How would Moses describe supernatural beings? I just gone through short what we were looking at. How would Moses then describe supernatural beings? We said he would use imageries. Imageries would describe supernatural beings. Hallelujah. He would use imageries. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, he used serpents. We saw that yesterday. The Nakash, he uses serpents. So he described a supernatural being using the imagery of a serpent. What does that mean? He used the image of a serpent to describe supernatural beings. So we say it will not be wrong for you to now say all serpents are supernatural beings, right? But he will employ that because that was what was obtainable, available. So you start to explain a supernatural being. In fact, in chapter 4, writing about, in verse 7, speaking about Cain, what was he used? He said, if thou does well, if thou does well, shall thou not be accepted? If thou does not well, say, listen, lieth at the door. Now, he used the word lieth at the door. That word lieth is used for an animal. How an animal will crouch, a wild animal, sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door. So it makes you, he also describes supernatural being in Genesis 9, quickly. Verse 9, it says, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show us a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, take thy rod. And cast it, thou shalt say unto Aaron, take the arrow, cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Now, that word serpent there is the word tani, serpent. Amen. Amen. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded them. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servant, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers and magicians of Egypt, and they did in like manner with their enchantment, and they cast down every man his rod, and it became a serpent. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So it became a serpent. And I told you this was used in the clash of gods. Right? Well, serpents. In Deuteronomy 32, is used to explain wickedness of man. Deuteronomy 32, verses 33. I'll read from verse 32 to 33. It says, for their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and their fields, and of their fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, and clusters bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Used to describe their enemy. And it says, that's the word dragon there, is where you have the word Tanim. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 13. So what you have there is not just a will, no. No. It is the word used for serpent, a dragon, Nehemiah. Chapter 2. Verses 13. It says, on top of myself, and I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God has put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well. That's the word dragon. Dragon well. And to dung pot, and view the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. So, dragon is the word, dragon. And in their word, dragon is used to depict supernatural beings. Look at Job chapter 2. Job 7, verse 12. Job 7, verse 12. He used it. He said, Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? Did you see that? Amen. Job 30, verse 29. Now this a bit more clearer. Job 30, verse 29. It says, I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. He's discarding his friends. And then he says his associate. He says he's a brother to dragons. Do you see that? So he used to describe people. Amen. 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 Psalm 74, verses 13. It says, I'll start from verse 12, for God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You see that? Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the head of the dragon in the water. So the head of the dragon in the water. Did you see that? It is for supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Psalm 91. Psalms 91. In describing supernatural beings, right? Psalms 91. Jesus read Psalms 91, verses 13. He says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the eagle, and the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample on their feet. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Jesus will call us over the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. I hope you are following us. Over the works of the enemy. So, he calls it dragon. He calls it the young lion and the dragon. And dragon is to defeat supernatural beings. Psalms 148. Verses 7. Psalms 148. We'll see yesterday shortly. Verses 7. It says, praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all beasts. Ye dragons, is that supernatural beings? Is that supernatural beings? And all beasts. So, in Genesis 1:21, the whales there was not referring to whales as an animal, was referring to supernatural beings. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Supernatural beings. All right. We'll get into that, maybe not in this series, but in subsequent series. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, we see that. So, Moses will use images to describe supernatural beings. So, we also said, God will function in the company of supernatural beings. Did we see that? He is called the Lord of hosts. Psalm 89, verses 7. He is the Lord of hosts. He said God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of saints, and to be had in reverence in all of them that are about him. O Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Oh, to thy faithfulness round about thee. So, the Lord of hosts, Lord of his assembly. You see that? He is the Lord of hosts. We're going to investigate that shortly today. He's the Lord of hosts. So, we said, hosts deals, did we get here yesterday? Hosts deals with a supernatural company, assembly. Right? A supernatural assembly. We didn't get into this in details. Look at 1 Samuel 1. 1 Samuel 1. Host. The use of that word host. From verse 2. It says, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other Pinhas. And Pinhas had children, but Hannah had no child. Sorry? I think this is a mix up. Okay. He said, and this man went up of the city yearly to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Did you see that? Was the Lord of hosts, so it's called the Lord of hosts. In verse 11, he vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon my affliction. So he's referring to God and he calls him Lord of hosts. So I say Lord of hosts is the Lord of what? Lord of supernatural beings. Hope you're following me. Lord over supernatural beings. So we're going to see something. Supernatural beings are called Lord. So he's called Lord of Lords. Right here, Lord of Lords is the Lord over supernatural beings. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over supernatural beings. In 1 Samuel 4 verse 4. Chapter 4 verse 4. It says, the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from hence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. So, the ark of the Lord of hosts. You see that? Amen. Lord of hosts. 1 Samuel 15, 2. 1 Samuel 15, verse 2. It says, thus hear the Lord of hosts. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. The Lord of hosts. Chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, verses 45. Verses 45. It says, and said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, which thou hast defiled. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. The Lord of hosts. Second Samuel 7. Second Samuel 7, verses 8. It says, now therefore shall thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts. You see that? So you find it in verses 26 to 27, Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts. First Kings 18, verse 15. 1 Kings 18, 15. It says, and Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, this is that Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I surely will show myself unto him today. The Lord of hosts. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 9. Psalms 84 verse 12, Psalms 89 verse 8. So God walks in the company of supernatural beings. God walks in the company of supernatural beings. Look at 1 Kings 52 verse 19. 1 Kings 22 verse 19. It says, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. I saw the Lord sitting where? On his throne. And all the hosts of heaven standing by him on the right hand and on the left. Did you see that? All the hosts of heaven. So God sits on his throne. The hosts of heaven stands about him. Stand around him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Very vital. So God will walk with his host. With his host. The Lord of hosts. So use the word host of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Host of heaven. So we said host of heaven is used to describe these same supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Host of heaven. In 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 21. 2 Kings 21, verses 3. It says, for he built again the high places which Hezekiah, his father, did destroy. And he reared up the altars of Baal and made a group, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. Mark that. It will come very handy in our ticket. Worship the host of heaven. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Worship the host of heaven. So, supernatural beings. Second Chronicles. Second. Okay. No. No. Deuteronomy 17. 1 to 3. Deuteronomy 17. 1 to 3. We'll get to Second Chronicles soon. Deuteronomy 17. It says, thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or evil favoredness. It says, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. If they be found amongst you, watch it. If they be found amongst you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. If the Lord thy God giveth a man or woman that wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, see he had gone to serve other gods and worship them, either the sun or moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told to thee. And I now he calls it the host of heaven, the sun. Or the moon. Did you see that? So we said they are also called sun, moon, and stars. Hallelujah. So they are also called. We said they are also called sun, moon, and stars. Glory to God. Amen. So, they are also called sun, moon, and stars. So, the sun, moon, and stars. Let's find, we'll find out also in 2 Chronicles. I wanted you to open 2 Chronicles 28, verses 9. 2 Chronicles 28, 9. Verse 9, it says, but the prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded, and went out before the host, and came to Samaria, and said to them, behold, the Lord, because the Lord God of your fathers has wrought with Judah, he has delivered them into your hands, and he has slain, think I'm reading something else. Look at a second, please. Okay, that reference was from Host. Please take it out. Look at chapter 33 from verse 3. Just repeating the same Kings, First Kings here. He said, for he built again the high place which Hezekiah and his father did broke down, and reared up altars for Baalim. Watch that. Baalim, and made groups, and worshipped the host of heaven and served them. Also built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord has said in Jerusalem, shall my name be forever. For he built altars for the host of heaven in the true court of the house of the Lord. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Very vital. In Deuteronomy 10, 12, 22. Deuteronomy 10, 22. Deuteronomy 10, 22. It says, thy fathers went down into Egypt, 70 persons. And now the Lord God had made thee as the stars of heaven for multitudes. So now, stars of heaven is used for multitudes. Amen. He calls it stars of heaven. So, he's talking about their growth numerically, and then he likened it to stars of heaven. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Look at chapter 28, Deuteronomy 28. Verses 62. The same thing again. It says, as ye shall be left few in numbers, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitudes. So the stars of heavens are used for multitudes. You see that? For multitudes. It is used to show an innumerable number. So when the writer of Hebrews right, and he said, we are coming to Mount Zion, the seat of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels. This is what he was referring to. Because stars of heavens were used for what? An innumerable number. Do you understand me? Amen. So when the writer of Hebrews wrote to an innumerable company of angels, he was referring to supernatural beings. Amen. Referring to what? Supernatural beings. The background of which is supernatural beings. Will come into the kingdom of God, where we have an innumerable company of angels. So he could have just written supernatural beings, but he's taking his narrative from this. Did you see that? Stars of heaven. In fact, when God was to speak to Abraham, he said, look at the stars. If you are able to number it, so shall thy seed be. Did you see that? So because stars are used for what is innumerable. Did you see that? And supernatural beings are called stars of heaven. In fact, in Job, as we see, Job calls them the morning stars. Job 38, morning stars. Hallelujah. Innumerable. Glory to God. Glory to God. Very right. So, in Judges, rush quickly to Judges 5, verse 20. Judges 5, verse 20. Let's see this. He says, I was talking verse 19. The kings came and fought. They fought the kings of Canaan in Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. And they took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The stars in their courses. You see that? So it's used for a clash of gods. Amen. Clash of supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses is using an imagery again of star, moon, and I mean sun, moon, and star to refer to supernatural beings. So in Genesis 1, when it said he made two great lights, Genesis 1:15, quickly, into 16, it says, and let there be for light of the firmament in the heaven to give light upon the surface of the earth. Right? Now, on top of the question, and the Lord said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Did you see that? And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and so and God made two good lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Did you see that? So the light he made is the sun, the moon, and the stars. And the sun, moon, and stars were not used for sun, moon, and stars. Moses is using sun, moon, and stars, right, in the heavens to show you supernatural beings. Did you see that? Supernatural beings. So Moses is describing supernatural beings also. Hallelujah. He's describing supernatural beings. Amen. In Psalms 33, verse 16. Psalms 33, verse 16. Let's see this. The psalmist speaks it. Psalms 33, verse 16. Verse 16. It says, there is no king save by multitude of the host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Did you see that? Amen. I mean, sorry. Did I say 16? Verse 6. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The heavens made. So the supernatural. Hallelujah. But something you see is that, pause again. When you read that Genesis 1, he was talking about God created the sun, moon, and stars. That is the emphasis. He God created the sun, moon, and stars. So in as much as there are supernatural beings that work with God, Moses shows us that God created them. Hallelujah. Moses shows us God created the sun, moon, and the stars. They were created by God. God created them. Hallelujah. So, by this place, I mean, in Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Is this supernatural beings? God made the supernatural beings. Hallelujah. God made the supernatural beings. And the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So, God created the supernatural beings. Psalm 147, verses 4. 147, verse 4. It says, he telleth the numbers of the stars. He calleth them by their names. That is God. He calleth them. To call them means he created them. He called them. Kaleo. He called them by their names. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah 6. 9 verse 6 or Nehemiah 9 verse 6. Nehemiah 9 verse 6. It says, even thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven. What is it? Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preserved them all. And the host of heaven worshipped thee. Did you see that? Amen. So God is the creator. Hallelujah. Of beings in heaven, beings on earth, and beings under the earth. Can you see that? Can you see that? Hallelujah. So God is the creator. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He made them all. So, take note. God created them. I have it here. Yahweh, Jehovah created them. Therefore, he is the Lord. That's why he's called the Lord of hosts. We're going to see another thing he's called. He's called the Lord of hosts. to show you. Now, a lot of hosts there is, how did they get the word Lord of Hosts? Genesis 28. Genesis 28. Quickly. Genesis 28. Verses 12. It says, and he dreamed. And he dreamed. And behold, the ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Supernatural beings? Is that supernatural beings?
Yes.
Who was on top of the ladder? The Lord. You see that? So, those going up and down, that's this supernatural being. So, he's the Lord of the host. He's the Lord of the supernatural beings. Did you see that? So, the Lord there, he stood above. He is not to stand somewhere. He is actually authority. Amen. His true rabble is authority. His God is authority. His true rabble is authority. Very, very important. His true rabble is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Authority. He created them. They walk with him. But he is their creator, but he is the Lord. He is the source. Right? He is the Lord. He is the source. He has the authority. Now, they are called sons of God also. So we are looking at, remember, we started looking at what a supernatural being referred to as. We said, host of heaven, sun, moon, and stars, right? They also referred to as sons of God. Job. Job 38, verses 7. Job 38. Verses 7. Okay. On top of verse 4, that you see that he is both the creator. Therefore, Job 13 from verse 4. It says, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, who had laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, who had stretched the line upon it, whereof are the foundations thereof fastened, or who had laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Right? Hallelujah. So the morning stars, supernatural beings, are called what? Sons of God. Hallelujah. Sons of God. Amen. They are called sons of God. In Genesis 6, again, Genesis 6, we found that phrase used. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the surface of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives for themselves. Verses 4. They were giants in the earth in those days, and also after, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore them children. Hallelujah. So the word sons of God is used again. Beni Elohim. Bene Elohim. What is this? Hallelujah. What is this? Bene Elohim. What is this? So, they are called sons of God. Something we'll see shortly is that they are also called gods. Or they are also called God. Amen. We'll see that shortly. Look at Job 1:6. Job 1:6. Again. Job 1:6. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came amongst them. What is it? The sons of God came to present themselves. So that means the sons of God, and God said that thou found, look at verse 7, look at what he said to Satan. And the Lord said unto Satan, what comest down? And Satan said, I've gone from through the earth, walk upon blah blah blah. And the Lord said to Satan, have thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him. So that means the sons of God have They carry out God's rule, God's responsibility in the earth. Amen. So some people see there is that the sons of God came and presented themselves. Amen. I heard someone say, this was before we were born again. That in the resurrection, there's no more sons of God. We are now the sons of God. Come, open your head, let me know. Amen. The now. Are we the sons of God? Every other son is displeased. That's not true. That's not an intelligent way to talk. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So let's see this. So, watch it. Is Satan son of God too? Is he son of God? Come on now. Is Satan son of God too? He's son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That was the son. The sons of God came and Satan came with them. So, showing that Satan is a supernatural being. Do you understand me? Amen. He's a supernatural being. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no wonder. If I told you, okay, it's rumor students, so I can't say it yet. I told you guys of a certain movement of people, right? Right? That believe, a certain movement, church movement, that believe, okay, I said it in church. Was it in church I said it? Okay, we must. Okay, for we must today. So that have a certain kind of belief. Amen. And that's a very wrong, useless belief. Amen. But it's wrong. So Satan, and something we're going to see later on. So that means, just have it in your mind. Satan was a son of God. It's a supernatural being. Amen. Amen. Because answering that question is going closer to Genesis 3. So let's fight Luke. Amen. Glory to God. So very vital. When the sons of God came to have sons of God, Job 2, verse 1, again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. So that means it's something that happens. They came to present themselves before the Lord. Amen. They will come and have workers meeting. And they will give reports. Did you see that? Amen. And some people were not showing up for workers meeting. Some people weren't showing up. They were always busy. No time for workers meeting. And they were casted out. And it's no man. It's not a joke. It wasn't a workers meeting they came for. They came to present themselves. So you see, God still works in companies. Amen. Yeah, that's tough. It's why you're now drinking. One day, pastor will show us cell meeting in the Bible. Amen. Amen. A leader's meeting, and he didn't show up. You don't have reports. You didn't do anything. Instead of you to do the work of the Lord, you are doing your own work. You are doing your own ministry. Yeah. Can you now see? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, very vital. So, Scripture calls them sons of the Lord. So when it says sons of God, what does it mean? That's a major question to ask. Sons of God, what does it mean? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take note. Two things here. Satan came among the sons of God. Right? Right? So the writer of Job wrote for you to see a supernatural context within what was happening to Job physically. Right? And also, for you to also know that in mentioning sons of God, I want to make a distinction. In mentioning sons of God, he now differentiated the devil. Amen. The sons of God came and Satan came with them. You see that? He singled that out. So maybe that will help you a bit in not arriving at wrong conclusions. Amen. That you now go and hear one useless doctrine that says, Jesus is the son of God. Satan is called son of God. They are brothers. They had clash. And that's the doctrine of a church. And I said, no wonder that maybe that was what Pastor was trying to tell us. You know, that was not what I was trying to tell you. Amen? They were not brothers came. How? Amen? We're going to see something shortly. Jesus is not called sons of God. There is a difference. Hallelujah. Jesus isn't called sons of God. We're going to deal with that shortly. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, let's understand what it means by sons of God. What does it mean to be sons of God? A similar phrase for that word sons of God, you find as sons of prophets. Sons of the prophets. You find it very well in the scripture. So, if you understand what sons of the prophet is, it won't be hard for you to know what the sons of God is. Amen. Amen. So, 1 Kings. Okay. 1 Kings 20. Verses 35. You see. And a certain man of the sons of the prophet said unto his neighbor, in the word of the Lord, smite me. I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. So he said, the certain man of the sons of the prophet. Mark that down. Sons of the prophet. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings 2, verse 3. Verse 3. It says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said, unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry ye, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. What is? Look at verse 5. And the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said, knowest not that the Lord will take their master away from him. So they had the sons of the prophet. What's that? Sons of the prophet. Look at verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off, and the two stood by Jordan. Did you see that? 50 men of the sons of the prophet. So, sons of prophets is a collective word used for people who walk with the prophet. Group of people that walk with the prophet. They're called sons of the prophet. People who walk with the prophet. This is his thing. And when the sons of the prophet, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. You see that? So, then they bowed themselves to the ground before him. It means that Elisha is now their leader. Right? Hallelujah. So, sons of the prophet is used for those who walk with the prophet. Second Kings 4:1. Who walk with the prophet? 4, verse 1. Now they cried a certain woman of the wife of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be born man. You see that? So, certain man of the sons of the prophet. So, when you use the word sons of the prophet, it's used for those who walk together. They are found around the prophet walking together. In chapter 5, verse 22, 2 Kings 5, 22. 2 Kings 5, 22. He says, and he said, all is well, my master. All is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now, they come to me from Mount Ephraim, two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. Did you see that? Amen. sons of prophets. Sons of the prophets. So, sons of the prophets are those who have a function together with one, with another person. A son of the prophet is one who have a function together with another person. Amen. So say, son of. A son is one who have a function with another person. Son of. So I use the word, when God now says in Exodus 4 about Israel, he called Israel his son. Let's see Exodus 4:22. Israel is called the son of God. Exodus 4:22. It says, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. You see that? So when use the word firstborn, Bekora, mark that, we'll come into that. Bekora. So that means in the explanation of the of sonship, Ben or Bene, you will find the Bekora. The Israel is my son, my firstborn. Verse 23. The answer, and I said to thee, let my son go that he may serve me. Did you see that? That he may serve me. Function. Did you see that? So sonship deals with function. So when your son is used for those who work or function with another. So Israel, being the son of God, is forced that they were to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. So the first thing we'll find in Israel's sonship is service, functionality, to serve. Israel was to serve. Israel was to serve. Israel is a nation. So making you see that sonship doesn't deal with gender. It's not a man or a woman thing. No. Israel is a nation of male and female. So automatically biases your mind or son is a male child. No. Son doesn't have to do with gender. Son is used for what? Those who function together with another. Also, when the word son is used for Israel, Israel recognizes the fact that God is their father. So in sonship, so sonship is not just an assembly or a congregation of people who work together, it's people who work together as a family. Did you see that? Amen. So there is the father. The father is the leader. Amen. Amen. So when Elijah was taken away from Elisha, Elisha shouted, my father, my father. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Do you see that? It's very vital. Amen. So Elisha will call Elijah father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the father there is Saul's head. Therefore, in God's sonship, in God's assemblage with supernatural beings that are called sons, he is their head. He is their father. He is the head of the supernatural beings. Hallelujah. So in talking about sonship, we said sonship deals with the Bekorah, the firstborn right, firstborn. Firstborn. And in their world, the firstborn is the one who takes over his father's office, his father's function, his father's tax and responsibility. The firstborn. Hallelujah. The firstborn. Glory to God. So the firstborn is found in the father's office. It was the culture of their day, the culture of the firstborn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Moses will use that same narrative to talk about God's tax in the earth. And we now see that the firstborn is not the first child, but actually the one who has faith in the Lord. So Moses will now use that to teach Genesis 22, where God will say, verses 2, God will say to Abraham, he says, take your son, take Isaac your son, your only child. Isn't that only? He used the word only son. Only. Now, was Isaac the only child? No. In fact, also to sorry, son is not so used for someone that you necessarily have to give birth to biologically. Amen. It could be adopted. Hallelujah. But I'm going to keep that in for this series. It's a teaching on its own. Amen. Adoption of sons. You could be adopted. Right? You could take somebody for a son and the person of a son. In Genesis 15, Abraham was with God or had a conversation with God and he said to God, he has no child. Genesis 15, 1. He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, I am thy shield and exceedingly great reward. And Abraham said, Lord, what shall thou give me, seeing that I go childless? And the steward is of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. You see that? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. Heir there is the word is my son. Is used for son. Is my heir. The one that will take my inheritance. So sonship deals with inheritance. Sonship now is my heir. That also means firstborn. You deal with inheritance. Inheritance means to take my office. Did you see that? Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So, and God said, no, Eliezer will not be your son. The one from your bowels will be. So, Abraham went in and gave birth to Ishmael. He thinks Ishmael will be, but he is not Ishmael. So, Isaac. Isaac is not Abraham's first child. But yet, Isaac will be Abraham's first son. He will take the office of his father. He will be Abraham's son. Did you see that? Son, Bekorah, amen. He will be Abraham's son. Why? He will be found in the office of his father Abraham as a prophet that we saw yesterday. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Same with Adam. Adam's first child was supposed to be king. But who took off Adam's Bekorah? Abel. Abel was killed, then he became saved. Did you see that? Hallelujah. But not Cain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Same thing true for Jacob and Esau. Esau was the first. For who was Isaac's son? Jacob. Did you see that? So Jacob will be found as God's priest. Never forget that. As God's priest. As God's prophet. Amen. Amen. So therefore, making you see that sonship deals with function. Function. Glory to God. It deals with function. Therefore, sonship is the collective word. Sons is the collective word. It's a collective word. And it deals with those who walk together with the Father. Those who walk with the Father. It is not a gender thing. Amen. Amen. So, when you hear supernatural beings are called sons of God, it shows that they walk with God. They walk with God. Look at Ephesians quickly. Ephesians. They walk with God. Part of God's family. Is that it? Come on. Okay. Ephesians 3, verse 15. I will start from verse 14. Say, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The family in heaven doesn't include man. It does. Why? How?
It includes man because it includes the believer.
That's what you should say. Don't go to Ephesians. What you should say? Just refer it to what I said. You function in both the natural and the supernatural. Amen. Restrict my answer, the answer to what I said. Because I can come and I will say something else. Like I will say something else from what I said yesterday to you. I will, Nicomia, I know I'll say it. So you have to be very sensitive. Very, very sensitive. Amen. And I said, it's not a teaching for discussion. Amen. It's not a teaching where when you are done, you don't hear something else online, you don't be arguing. It's not for that. It's a teaching where you just know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go ahead. So, when it says supernatural beings there, it shows that they work with God, right? And Paul will call it family in heaven also. Now, Jesus, from the New Testament writers, calls Jesus the Son of God. Now, that definite article was there, the Son of God. Now, one, calling him the Son of God differentiates him from sons of God, from other sons of God, supernatural beings. This Son of God places him as their head, the Lord. Did you see that? Places him as the head, the Lord. Now, we saw something yesterday in Joshua 14, where he says, the one that appeared, I said, he's the captain of the Lord, of the host of the Lord. Do you see that? He is the captain. Amen. And who is the captain? Captain is used for the head. Who is the head? The Lord is. Hallelujah. So Jesus is called the Son, definite. Now, why is he called the Son? Because he's called the Son, unlike other supernatural beings, Jesus is in the Godhead. Other supernatural beings are not in the Godhead. Okay, follow me. Jesus is called the Son because he is in the Godhead. He functions with the Father. We'll see this also. He functions with the Father as one. Ikad, equal with the Father. When you hear the word Ikad, in union, in unity. Amen. Amen. In union. Ikad. Deuteronomy 6:4. It says, "Hear, O Israel." It says, "The Lord thy God is Ikad." What is? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is Ikad." Deuteronomy 6:4 is one. Now, one day, the word Ikad is not just so you have served one God. No. Is Ikad means in union. Now, I'm going to deal with that. And I'll deal with that in the next series. The next series, we're going to deal with a bit on the Lord thy God is Ikad. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Ikad functions together. Amen. And then we'll see. Oh, I think it's part of this my series. Let me check my name. Oh, it's here. So look at it in this series. Amen. I have my outline. So it's here. What are they in this series? Just a bit. In a bit. But I'll major on it in my upcoming list in my next series. Amen. What I've done is to break this teaching into different series in different years. God, your God is a card, functions in union, so you just know that. Hallelujah. So Jesus is God. That's what I'm trying to say. So when Jesus was told in John chapter 10 verse 33, this is off my note, let me show you this. John 10 33. He asked him, okay, the Jews answered and said, "For a good work was standing on, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man maketh thyself God." Now what did Jesus say? Jesus calls himself the Son. Did you see that? Because if you read verses 28, say, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father would give them me greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one." Can you see what he says? "I and my Father are one." And the Jews knew the Father to be God the Father. He said they are one. They are Ikad. So when you hear, "I and my Father are Ikad," Deuteronomy 6:4. The man says, "You make yourself God." Did you see that? Amen. You make yourself God. What can you say? So what did Jesus say? "Is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods." What? Verse 35. "If he calls them gods, to whom the words of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father has sanctified, and sent into the world, that blasphemy, because I said, I am the Son of God." Did you say, "I am a Son of God"? Did you say that? "I am the Son of God." Did you see that? Amen. Definite. Now, he says, now, Jesus reads for them Psalm 82, something we're going to read later on. He went to Psalm 82, where he said the Lord, he said God standing in the congregation of the mighty and judges amongst the gods. You see that? So he said, ye are God. Now, stop. When he said ye are God, he was not referring to the Pharisees as God too. He's reading the Psalms. Look at Psalm 82. Psalm 82. And let's see what Jesus meant by that. Psalm 82, it says, "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth amongst the gods." So how long will you judge on unjustly and accept the presence of the wicked to life. He defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor. So he's talking about, he says, get them out of the hand of the wicked. Ye know not, let them understand. Ye walk on in darkness, the foundation of the earth are out of course. I've said, ye are God. And all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Now, Jesus went and read this. He says, ye are God. Why are they standing outside? He reads and said, ye are God. Watch it. Ye are God. Now, when he said ye are God, he wasn't calling them God. Now, remember I told you they were writing shorthand. So, they will pick a verse and expect it to go and read what he's saying. Right? So, what Jesus did was an explanation of that. Now, what Jesus is saying to them is, if he called those people, he called supernatural beings that sinned, he called them gods. Right? So how can you then watch it? He says he calls people who are not perfect. That was what he was trying to point to them. He called people who are not perfect supernatural beings. He called them gods. How much more will it be wrong if I say I'm God? Did you see that? Amen. So he brought it down to their level. I said, these people could be called gods. How much more me that came from the Father? Did you see that? Amen. He said, ye are God. So is it not written that ye are God? He says, if he calls them God, unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken. Did you see that? He called them God. And these are guys who were unstable. Yeah, they are called gods. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus was pleading, was saying something very significant. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He now says, how much I may say of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent to the world, that blasphemy because I say I'm the Son of God, because I say I'm a supernatural being. So God has sanctified me and blessed and sent me to the earth. If the ones he sent and blasphemed, or if the ones he sent and sinned are called God, how much more me that I'm sanctified? Glory to God. Hope you're following that. I'm sanctified. No, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's no, the pastor say we are. We are. Glory to God. I'm trying to ensure that you don't quote me out of context. Even me, your pastor. I'm being careful what I say. Amen. Amen. So, in the New Testament books, we are called sons of God. We are not called the Son of God. We are called sons of God in the new verse. Why? It's because our sonship will be found in the Son. Now, this is the believer's authority. Now, remember we said the Son is the Lord of hosts. Right? Right? He is the... So we're going to investigate that in our next class. We're going to investigate how he is called in the Old Testament book. How Yahweh is called. How he is different from supernatural beings. In as much as sometimes words are used. We're going to see one of those words used for both supernatural beings and for Yahweh. But yet, how is Yahweh distinguished? Did you see that? How is he distinguished from the supernatural beings? How is he distinguished as the head? Amen. So when you see that, you will now see the believers of all in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he is the Son of God, right? And the head of supernatural beings, of the supernatural host of heaven, right? Then we are called sons because of our sonship in him. I mean, our sonship is because we are found in him. We are found in the Son. We are found in the Son. Our identification with him. This becomes a very important teaching in our CLC this year. Glory to God. Becomes very important. Glory to God. Very vital. Amen. Very vital in our CLC. Identification. So, the ministry of the Son, which is God's task, is what we carry out today through us. Or which he carries out today through us. Through us. Hallelujah. But in our identification with Christ, which we will look at and investigate properly, right? Properly, we'll find the believer's authority. The believer's authority. Hallelujah. Learning something? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's get back a bit to some things we said. We said they are called what? Supernatural beings. And the supernatural beings are called what? Stars of heaven. Right? Some known as stars. Host of heaven. What again? Sons of God. We also said something like that they are called Elohim. Did you remember that? Bene Elohim. They are called Elohim. And like I told you yesterday, the name God is not specific for Yahweh. The name God, G-O-D, whether capital or small, is a generic name. Not like capital letter G. That is interpreters by or that is interpreters trying to make you see this one is referring to the big God, to Yahweh. Why is more that is referring to? But like I said to you, I found several times where it's not used rightly. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I found several times where it's not used rightly. Amen. So, okay, stop. Okay, no worries. We'll get it. Okay, where it's not used rightly, I said I found some places where it's not used rightly, because you know, I said this to all that you see some people say no, write this small letter G. God is God, serious. In fact, the Greek and the Hebrew Elohim didn't differentiate whether it's capital letter or small letter. Capital letter and small letter just started this recent discovery in the world. Amen. So in those days they just write it like that. Amen. Okay, with me. Elohim. And Jesus. And it's a generic name for supernatural beings. Amen. Amen. Just say when you call in Hebrew, you hear the word she. She is used for both God, it is used for idol worship. Amen. Also to the name Olorun. Amen. Is a general name. Glory to God. Olorun. A general name. Glory to God. So let's see something. In general name. So we now have to specify. We have to look at it very well. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Verses 4. This is the serpent speaking. Remember, we said the serpent is a supernatural being too, right? Right? Supernatural being. So we saw the whales too, the sea whale. It says no whale. It's actually serpent, sea serpent, right? Supernatural being, Genesis 1:21. Now look at Genesis 3, verse 4. It says, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Right? For God knows that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods to know good and evil. Ye shall be as gods. God there is the word Elohim, used for supernatural being. So he says ye shall be like supernatural being. Hallelujah. To know good and evil. So that means supernatural beings make choices. You know the thing? Supernatural beings are like robots. They can't make choices. They just do. Amen. Amen. That's old time teaching. Amen. Just go ahead. They don't have any. They don't have a will. They do. Amen. Amen. They have a will to know good and evil. Hallelujah. Amen. So Elohim there is this of supernatural being. Yet in Genesis 1, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. That is God. So it's this for God. It's this for Yahweh there. And the earth was without form and void. And that was the rest of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim, Yahweh. You see that? God there is Yahweh. Amen. So it's also used for Yahweh. Elohim, use of supernatural beings also used for Yahweh. Hallelujah. Therefore, we now have to differentiate. How do we then differentiate? Right? But look at that. Look at Genesis 22, Genesis 3. When God said, man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now the word one of us, the us there, is the assembly of supernatural beings. Amen. So in other words, Elohim in scripture is not only used to refer to Yahweh, but also employed to refer to supernatural beings. And one of such is the serpent, who began to deceive Adam to sin against God. Who began to deceive Adam so as to sin against God. So how would I not know the difference? Context will always make us see who is referred to as Elohim. The context. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is also used God. The word God, Pura, is actually, there's no Pura in Elohim. Amen. There's no Pura in Elohim. We're going to see one next time, in the next class, Eloha. Now, there's no Pura in Elohim. Amen. There's no Pura there. But you have God, G-O-D-S. Well, it's also context to use to show other gods, other deities. Other supernatural beings. Well, when it is God, Jehovah, is used singular. Hope you're following that. Yes, God functions in a union. Hope you're following me now. Okay. That you understand how it is used in scripture. So many times, writer makes a distinction between these gods, supernatural beings from Yahweh. They helped us at some points, but not all the time. Take note of what I said. They helped us at some points, but not all the time. To see the difference between Yahweh in their writings and the other supernatural beings. They will use the word Most High God. They will use the word Most High God. Most High God. In Genesis 14, verses 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chabdolamoah and the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Did you see that? Most High God. And he blessed him. And said, blessed be Abraham, possessor of heaven. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, who has delivered thy enemies into thy hand, to give them, and he gave him tithe of all. You see that? Hallelujah. Verse 22, and Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hands unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. He is called the Most High God. Numbers 24, verse 16. Numbers 24, verse 16. It says, he has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into the trance, but having his eyes open, he is called the Most High. What are you saying now? Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. It says, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam and set bounds for the people according to the number of the children of Israel, said the Most High. Mark that word there, Most High. We'll get back to that scripture. Most High. So it's called the Most High. Other writers after Moses and writers of the Synoptic also call God Yahweh Most High, the Most High God. Please, we're going to take this down because of time, rather than read, there are many. 2 Samuel 22, verse 14. 2 Samuel 22, 14. Psalm 9, verse 2. Psalm 21, verse 7. Psalm 50, verse 4. Psalm 9, 2, 21, 7, 54. Psalm 56, verse 2. Psalm 78, verse 56. Psalm 82, verse 6. That ye are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. I'll take it again. Psalm 9, verse 2. Psalm 21, verse 7. 50, verse 4. 56, verse 2. 78, verse 66. 82, verse 6. 83, verse 16. Psalm 91, verse 1 to 9. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 8. I'll take that last three. Psalm 83, verse 16. Psalm 91, verse 1 to 9. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 8. Psalm 107, verse 11. Psalm 107, verse 11. Isaiah 14, 14. Lamentations 3, 35 and 38. Psalm 107, verse 11. Isaiah 14, 14. Lamentations 35. I mean, Lamentations 3, 35 and 38. Daniel 3, 26. Daniel 4, 17. Daniel 4, 24. Daniel 4, 25. Daniel 4, 32. Daniel 3, 26. Daniel 4, 17, 24, 25, and 33. Daniel 5, 17. Daniel 5, 24. Daniel 7, 18. Daniel 7, 22. Daniel 7, 25. And 27. Hosea 7, 16. Hosea 11, 7. Daniel 5, 17. Daniel 5, 24. Daniel 7, 18, 22, 25, 27. Hosea 7, 16, 11, 7. Mark. Mark 5, 7. Luke 8, 28. Acts 7, 48. Acts 16, 17. So, He is the Most High God. So, as the Most High, Most High shows. Now, when you hear Most High God, what do you have as a background? Would you also have, would you see the ladder that set up on the heaven and the earth, and the Lord stood above it? Did you see that? Right? Stood above it, Most High. Though even though that vision came in after Melchizedek had called Abraham Most High. Called God or called Abraham the possessor of heaven and earth, Abraham of the Most High God. Did you see that? But you have that description of God at the top of the ladder. Did you see that? God where? At the top of the ladder. Hope you're following that. God at the top of the ladder. Most High God. So He is the head. He is the head. In fact, He is the head, just like what we saw in Genesis, as the head, in Genesis chapter 3, when man sinned, God judged the serpent, supernatural being, right? Moses is writing something for you to see. He judged the supernatural being, He judged who? Man and the woman. So God is the judge of all. That's what Moses is asking for you to see. He's the judge of all. He's the judge of both supernatural being and who? Man. Did you see that? Amen. In Psalms where we read, it says God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Did you see that? So he's the God of all. In fact, when Paul was writing and he said, don't you know that you will judge angels? When he said, don't you know that the saints will judge angels? The background of that study, we'll see that in our next class, will be Psalms 82. Psalms 82. Why? Because of our identification with him. Hallelujah. Don't you know you judge angels? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But let's get back to what we're looking at. God is the judge of all. Hallelujah. In Genesis 18, verse 25, look at what Abraham calls God. It says, be it far from thee. It says, to do this, to do after this manner, to save, to slay the righteous and the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? So, God is called the judge of the earth. Amen. He's called the judge of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like we said, he will judge supernatural beings. Glory to God. Psalm 85. Let's get to Psalm 85. Take what? Amen. I think I'm putting across these foundations very well. Amen. For some things we begin to see. Psalms 80. I mean, did I say Psalms 85?
Yes,
sir. 82. Psalms 82. Say, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the presence of the wicked to last? Amen. Amen. So God judges, right? Judges. And after defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. To deliver the poor and the needy. Lead them out of the hands of the wicked. They know not. Then they don't understand. They walk on in that way. The foundation of the earth are out of court. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Sons of the Most High. Ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. What Asa is saying? He said, you will inherit all nations, meaning you will take up all lands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But a very significant thing he has said here is verse 2. Now, this is Song of Asa. It says, look at what it says. Say, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the presence of the wicked? Observe that very well. Now, take note that these are supernatural beings. Amen. These are supernatural beings. So, from what the writer is saying here, Asaph, he's saying they were given responsibility to judge. See, now he said they judge unjustly. So, the supernatural being, remember I told you, they function with God. Right? They are called sons of God because of functionality. Right? So, what is their function? To judge the earth. They have a responsibility to judge amongst men. Hallelujah. But actually, these ones, now he's not saying all of them. Amen. This one is referring to here. Hallelujah. Take note too. It's not all of them that judge wrongly. Okay with me? But this one is speaking of here, judged unjustly. Follow me now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They judged unjustly. In fact, they were unfaithful as in their judgment. And the writer here, Asaph, said they accepted the presence of the wicked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Rebiah. So what has he done? He said God started in the congregation of the mighty and judged among Elohim. So mighty Elohim. Is that true? Asaph has differentiated for you God Yahweh from Elohim. Is that? He said God Elohim started in the congregation of the mighty and judges among the Elohim. He has differentiated it for you to know that this one is what Yahweh and this is what supernatural being. He has differentiated that for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very vital. They have a role, they have a function in dealing with humanity. So, however, we can say God, Yahweh, works with supernatural beings in dealing with humanity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's very vital. So we can say there is the congregation of the children of Yahweh, which is God, supernatural being. There is a congregation of supernatural beings that works with Him in His dealing with humanity. Hallelujah. They work with Him in His dealing with humanity, with man. In Genesis chapter 3, quickly, rush quickly. Genesis 3. Verses 24. It says, So he drove out the man and placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned everywhere to keep the way of the tree of life. It says to protect the tree of life. It says to keep the way of the tree of life. Hallelujah. So that means cherubims there are supernatural beings. Watch it. They are supernatural beings. To keep the way of the tree of life. So what is the role of these supernatural beings? Right? To show the way of the tree of life. Implies supernatural beings were to lead men to the worship of Yahweh. What are you following me? They are to lead men to the worship of Yahweh. Hallelujah. They have to judge men. I will find out this off my notes, but I just want to take the time to talk. Now, but like I said, off my notes. Now, but you will find out very significantly that the serpent beguiled the woman with words. Did that? With words. Amen. Amen. And made the woman to act in disobedience. Because if you read Genesis chapter 2 quickly, Genesis 2, we're going to explore this, the sins in Genesis. You know, some of us think the major number one sin of them all is the fall of Adam in the garden. It's not true. In fact, like I said to us in church the last time, I said it was only once or maybe the person that really elaborated on that was in Romans, right? But other writers will refer, even within the Old Testament book, will play down on Genesis 1 sin. But they will louden the others. Amen. Amen. So like I said to us, it is not a transgenerational sin. You see, every foundation of my father. What kind of rubbish is that? If what happened to Adam couldn't even affect Cain and Abel, how much more you? It didn't even affect them. They were sorry. They didn't even touch them. They were found in God's presence. Just like their father. And they, no, it's transgenerational. How? Nobody should deceive you. Imagine I'm doing this on your father's house. Which father's house? My father's house is in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm from Zion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is this from my father's house? The demon of your father's house. One of my cousins called me, he said, sir, I want you to explain something to me. I said, what? He said, sir, you know you are my senior. I said, yes. I said, sir, I want to know, is there any generational family curse that has told? I said, what kind of rubbish is this? He said, no, sir, I just want to know. Some prophet has told me the demons of my father's house, the things that the demons of my father's house. I said, go and tell them that your brother said is the demon from their father's side that is holding them. That's making them feel rubbish. So they go, you don't tell them. They go, sir. I said, are you not born again? He said, she's born again. I said, do you believe the Bible? He said, yes. I said, what is in your Bible? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He said, when man being Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away. I said, all things are passed away. So what are you doing with generational? Actually, sir, how God has been telling different of them. I said, yes, because that's the reason they can say there's no family in Africa that did not serve idol. Let's take lineage. Even there's no family in the world that didn't serve idol. Even the children of Israel served idol. Hope you know that. Did they make a graven image? So why didn't that follow them? They just start talking rubbish. Why did he follow that? Transgenerational. Who can transgenerational? And Jesus came from that same Israel. Do you understand that? So people stop saying rubbish. Glory to God. How are we getting into this transgenerational rubbish? Okay. So how did he deceive man? Was by words. Hallelujah. By words. He told, he spoke to the woman. And the woman, what God told man in verse 16 of Genesis 2, when the Lord commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou shalt freely eat. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that eat thereof thou shalt surely die. Did you see that? So the serpent came and began to talk. That means supernatural beings had interactions with men. That would be part of the apex of our teaching. That means we can have interactions with supernatural beings. Right? You can. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can see supernatural beings. Appearances of them. We can. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So he came and then he spoke contrary to what God had said. And that is just a mistake. How can a man listen to a supernatural being more than the voice of the Lord? Did you see that? The voice of the Lord is apex. Glory to God. The voice of God's word is apex. Like I said, I'm not going to say that. It's not now. It's in the future. There are some things that are in the future. There are some things I can't say now. The Lord appears to me. Sometimes, some of the things people say, the Lord appears to them and say that is inconsistent with the reality of God's word. Why can't you just throw it away? Some people hold on to what they heard in their dreams more than what the scripture says. We're going to deal with that. Those are some other things. For some other days. Amen. So I round up like this. Man was deceived with words. The same words that they were supposed to use to show men to the way of life, to the worship of God. They were supposed to lead men to the worship of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. We are supposed to keep watch of men and ensure that desire God has put in man, they will lead men into the worship of God. But what did they do? They began to receive worship from men. So worship that were supposed to lead men to worship God, they began to lead men to worship them. That became one of their disobedience. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 11, we began to see that in the disobedience of man is a supernatural being. Glory to God. So next time, in our next class, which I think might be Saturday after vigil, which I think, I'm not saying it is, which I think, we'll begin to investigate this, either this Saturday or next Saturday, begin to investigate this properly. Amen. I said properly to see. Glory to God. We're going to investigate it properly to see. And find out what man's role is in all of this. Learn something? Learn something? I want to ask, I want to pick questions. I figured something yesterday. And I said I was going to talk about it. That about when the Most High divided to the nations. Right? I mean divided, set the bounds and divided to the nation according to the children of God. We're going to investigate that also. Hallelujah. And see what man did. Glory to God. In relation to Genesis chapter 11, what man did. Hallelujah. How did the Most High divide to the nations? When did he do it? Hallelujah. How did he do it? And what men did. Glory to God. Hope you'll me what men did with that. Glory to God. Amen. So, God didn't divide it. Now, something you need to see. God didn't divide to the nations because they sinned. Do you understand me? So, we'll investigate that. God divided the nations to the sons of God so that they would lead men to the worship of God. We'll see all that. Hallelujah. So, where they are now called fallen angels, or where you have the word disembodied beings, will be when they began to receive the praises that was meant to God as for themselves, which is idol worship. Hallelujah. We see all that. Glory to God. Let me ask that question. Questions? Who has questions? Okay, you.
Thank you, God, for teaching you.